All right, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 28. A couple of weeks ago, I taught a message out of this chapter. I titled it, Dinner with a Witch. Remember that? Okay. Well, tonight I want to go back to this chapter. I'd like for us to visit it again and consider a few things, I guess, in a little bit more detail. You know, there's been quite a controversy through the years, through the centuries, as to whether or not this manifestation of Samuel that appeared and spoke to Saul, was that really Samuel, or was it not Samuel? So tonight, we're going to get to it. I'm going to tell you all the reasons why it was not Samuel. And then I'm going to tell you all the reasons why it was Samuel. Now, you're familiar with the account, right? Verse 3, 1 Samuel 28, verse 3, Samuel was dead. He was dead. And had been dead for quite some time at this point. All Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah. Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. He had put them away, driven them out. He hadn't been entirely successful because some obviously just went underground. It's kind of like prohibition, you know. When people have wicked hearts, you can outlaw things, but that doesn't mean it ceases to operate. They outlawed alcohol in the United States. How well did that work? Even today, there are a lot of things that are illegal, but they prosper, like the drug trade and so forth. So when people are spiritually bankrupt, backslidden, lukewarm, casual, indifferent about their commitment to God, about their commitment to the Bible, they tend to seek wisdom, counsel, guidance from other sources, forbidden sources. Well, Saul put away those that had the familiar spirits and the wizards. The Philistines gathered themselves together. You're familiar with the account. Saul, verse 5, saw the host of the Philistines. He was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. The Bible has a tremendous knack for understatement. You know, we read this. He was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. And we think, okay, well, you know, he was worried. But this is really emphasized. He was terrified. He was horrified and shaking, quaking in his shoes because the Philistines were about to invade. And everything he depended on for his stability in his own life, because remember, he was a flake. When we talked about him recently, we talked about the man had no stability whatsoever. So his anchor was really not his relationship with God, because he didn't have one. Our anchor should be our relationship with the Lord, right? Your anchor is not a person. Your anchor is not your spouse. Even when you have a good and godly spouse, they cannot be your anchor. Your anchor must be the Lord himself and your relationship with him. Saul, old Saul, he's a boat tossed on a storm with no anchor, no sail, no motor. I mean, he's in a world of trouble. And the only person who ever told it to him straight, even though he never listened to him when he was alive, was Samuel. Samuel he could run to. Samuel he could get advice from, because he knew Samuel would give him, thus saith the Lord. Even though he never paid any attention. It reminds me of my own kids. But we're not going to go there tonight. It It's like, you know, the old saying, they never thought mama or daddy had any sense until they're gone, and then you can't consult them, and they say, gee, I sure wish mama or dad was around so I could ask them their advice. But when they are around, they never ask your advice. If they did, maybe they wouldn't do some of the stupid things that they do. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that tonight, because that's really not, it's really not our subject. So. So Saul was terrified. He had no anchor. He had no foundation, no source to go to. When Saul inquired of the Lord, verse 6, the Lord didn't answer. So you have to seek the Lord when he can be found. That's what the Bible tells us. Seek him while he may be found. Do you believe it's possible to sin away your hour of grace? Do you believe that you can presume upon God's grace, that you can sin so long and always think, well, you know, before I die, I'm going to repent and I'm going to believe in God and I'm going to be a Christian before I die. But right now, I want to enjoy everything the world has to offer. Do you believe it's possible to presume upon grace and think that when you get to that place where your back's against the wall, that, well, that's when I'll call upon God, and then maybe it's too late? Well, I wrote in the margin of my Bible, it's too late. Because when he called upon the Lord did not answer. It's too late. He didn't answer him by dreams. The only dreams he had were nightmares. He didn't answer him by Urim, nor by prophets. Remember, we talked about that last week. He killed the priest at Nob. He persecuted the prophets. Certainly, he's not going to get a word from the Lord from any of them. So Saul says, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, inquire of her. And there was a witch at Endor. Verse 8, Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment, and he went, two men with him. They came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. You know, these people who have familiar spirits, we would call them in our modern vernacular either psychic mediums, or let me tell you the term they like to use for themselves, channelers. They are psychic channelers. And if you do a little just web search, for those of you who have computers, you do a little Google search, you know, psychic channelers and so forth, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who claim to be channelers. They channel a spirit from, well, I'll get there in a minute, but Brazil alone claims a million channelers. They claim that they channel spirits either of the dead, you know, like here's Saul. He wants to call up the dead. He wants to call up Samuel. So channelers believe that they have contact with the dead. They usually have a spirit, one particular spirit that operates through them. Sometimes it's they believe it's somebody who died, a dead ancestor, relative, whatever. Sometimes they believe they can have a seance and contact one of your dead ancestors, your dead child, dead husband, a dead whomever. And sometimes they get information from beyond the grave that tells them things only that husband knew or only that relative would have known. They get some pretty interesting information sometimes. Sometimes these channelers claim that they are the conduit, that they are the medium through which a spirit, maybe a good spirit, speaks through them. Their voice changes. They speak. Sometimes it's supposed to be a... Well, in the case of, let's say, Jay-Z Knight, some of you may have heard of her, one of the famous channelers in America. She channels a spirit called Ramtha. This lady has held seminars. She still holds seminars all over the world, charges big bucks to come to her conferences, 2-, 3-, 4-day conferences, enlightenment conferences, where she goes into a trance, the spirit comes into her, takes over, and she begins to speak in a masculine voice. And they've written books and all kinds of things channeled through this spirit called Ramtha that claims to be a 35,000-year-old warrior from Atlantis, the lost city of Atlantis. Sometimes they claim to channel a nature god. Sometimes they claim to channel, listen to this, extraterrestrial speaking to them from another plane, or giving them all kinds of counsel and wisdom, and entire, not just books, libraries have been written by people channeling these beings. Some claim to be from the future. I've come back from the future to give you advice, counsel, wisdom, guidance, direction. Some claim to be beings from another plane, or of another plane of existence. Some have channeled beings that claim to be themselves. Like one of these channelers says that there's really four of us. Each of you is really four people living on four different planes and four different lives, and they channel some really bizarre stuff. They do have some things in common, even though some claim to be channeling an extraterrestrial from another universe. Another one's channeling a dead ancestor. This one's channeling a nature spirit. This one's channeling a god of some sort. Here's one channeling an evil spirit. Here's another one channeling Atlantis warriors. Their messages are incredibly similar. They hold several truths in common, things that they proclaim to be truths, such as reincarnation permeates their messages, a denial of Christ's divinity permeates their messages, rejection of the Bible overall as a storybook, a nice book about morals and legends, but certainly not true, certainly not inspired. Jesus was either a good man, he may have been a prophet, he may have been an avatar, he may have been one of the ascended masters. They put him on an enlightened plane like Buddha or other enlightened individuals, but certainly he was not divine, he was not God. Something else they hold in common, they all believe in an inner divinity. We're all God. A pantheistic view of God. You have to discover your inner divinity, your inner goodness. Something else they hold in common, no hell. There is no such thing as hell, and really no such thing as heaven. Not the kind of heaven the Bible speaks of. It's just, we're reincarnated, we grow, we become more conscious of the spirit world, we become better people, self-improvement. Whatever salvation there is a salvation of oneself. We save ourselves, it's all self-improvement, blah, 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 blah. What else? What's some of the other things that they hold in common? Well, everything that's anti-Christ, anti-God. Oh, here's an interesting thing they hold in common. There's no such thing as sin. There's really no such thing as sin. So their messages are essentially Hindu philosophy. That's basically what their message is, Hindu philosophy. It's just Hinduism in a new dress. It's New Age messages. All of this stuff is New Age. I wonder why God would say, don't go seek after these people. Don't seek after these trance mediums. Don't seek after a witch, a sorcerer, a wizard. Don't seek after somebody who has a familiar spirit. I wonder why God would not let us do that, because it's so much fun. And you can get all kinds of wisdom from that. Well, obviously, what these channelers don't really realize, most of them don't anyway, is that they're not in contact with a spirit being from a nature god or an entity from another universe. They're talking to demons. They are talking to the demonic world and getting information that will damn their soul and lead them to the hell that they deny exists. So the Lord says, don't seek those out because you will be deluded and deceived by them. Why would a believer, why would a Christian seek guidance or counsel from a psychic, a medium, an astrologer, a tarot card reader, a diviner of any kind? But they do. Here's Samuel, go find me a witch. So the witch says, who do you want me to bring up? He says, bring up Samuel. Bring up Samuel. Verse 12. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. The king said unto her, be not afraid, for what did you see? The woman said, I saw gods, the Elohim, ascending out of the earth, spirit beings. He said unto her, what form is he of? She said, an old man comes up. He's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines, you know, they make war against me. God's departed from me. He doesn't answer me. And so I've called you that you may make known unto me what I should do. And Samuel said, verse 16, why do you ask me, seeing that the Lord has departed from you and is become your enemy? God is your enemy. And the Lord has done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord has rent the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, even to David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord. You did not execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. That's why the Lord has done this thing unto thee this day. Verse 19, not only that, the Lord will deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. Excuse me. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. You'll be dead like me, in other words. The Lord will also deliver the host of Israel to the hand of the Philistines. And Saul, his strength departed. He, like, fainted, fell out. He was slain in the spirit, I guess. And then he had dinner with the witch. So, you know, we read this this account last Sunday, so I won't read every single verse here, but you've got the gist of it. Seek me a witch, the Hebrew, a mistress or possessor of the ob. The ob was a bottle, a leather bottle. You know, they made bottles. They didn't make them out of glass and stuff. It was made out of leather. A goat skin. And the ob, they spoke about the mistress of the ob. When these spirit mediums would go into their trances and begin to speak, they would speak with a bizarre voice, an eerie voice, and it almost sounded hollow, like they were speaking out of a bottle. And that's exactly what this is referring to here. The voice coming out of the bottle, or a voice like it was coming out of a hole in the ground, or something along those lines. So, you know, this eerie, hollow voice that they would speak in. Keep your finger right here, but turn with me over to first. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8. Let's read a passage over here. Keep your finger here, but Isaiah 8. We'll look at a verse about this. The the mediums, channelers, those with familiar spirits would speak in voices that were not their own voice. They didn't sound like themselves. It was unnatural. It was bizarre. It was hollow sounding. All right, we're going to read verse 19. Isaiah's condemning occultism here. He says, verse 19, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter." Wizards that peep and mutter. Who's got a different version but the King James? What does it say?
It says whisper and mutter.
Whisper and mutter, okay. Yeah, that's how generally the peep is translated, whisper. But sometimes it actually means to chirp like a bird. They make bird-like sounds, or to mutter, which the Hebrew word includes the word meaning of to moan or to groan. So it's a bizarre form of speaking. He says, you seek those who peep and mutter, those who whisper, speak in these strange voices. In fact, the Hebrew scholars connect these wizards that peep and mutter to not only hypnotists, but ventriloquists who would throw their voice and made it sound like their voice was coming from someplace else. And it always had this, apparently this hollow sound or a different kind of sound, an eerie sound. He goes on here and he says, "Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Here we are. Now, Isaiah obviously is speaking to the people of God. When the people of God need direction, counsel, aid, assistance, guidance, when they need help, when they need encouragement, who should they consult? The people of God should turn to the God that they serve, right? Should the people of God seek counsel, guidance, aid, direction, should we seek that sort of thing from the dead? Now, that could include a dead idol, you know, which the pagans did. They would pray to a dead tree stump or a dead stone. They would, you know, something carved. The Bible speaks of the idols as dead things. But also, when he talks here about the wizards that peep and mutter, he's talking about those who practice consulting with the dead, necromancy, calling up or conjuring up the dead in order to converse with them, consult with them, seek advice or direction from them, or just seek a conversation with them. Should the living seek for wisdom, counsel, advice from the dead? Now, this is exactly what Saul did. When God didn't answer, he didn't get what he wanted from God, and he didn't get it right now, because that's the way Saul was. If he asked God, he wanted an answer right now. And if he didn't get that, then he'd seek the witch at Endor. I guess it never dawned on him that perhaps if he repented, truly repented, that God would speak to him. You know, sometimes heaven can be like shut up or brass to us. Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it seems like it really is that way. And that could actually be. Sometimes we go through periods where it feels to us, it seems to us like nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. I'm praying, I'm trying to do the right thing, and nothing is changing. sometimes we don't understand why we go through those things. But can I tell you, eventually all of us do go through such things. There are times in our lives when we may feel like nothing is really happening. I'm not getting these answers. It doesn't mean God has forsaken us, rejected us, or shut up heaven against us. It simply means, you know what, you can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your feelings. You continue to trust the Lord, serve the Lord, never doubt the Lord, continue to trust the Lord, and you will receive the breakthrough, the answer, the guidance, direction, counsel, you know, whatever it is you have been seeking for, it will come. You can't live this Christian walk successfully by trusting in your feelings. We should be mature enough to know that. And there can be other reasons why heaven may seem like brass. It could be because we are in rebellion. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing, acting in a way we shouldn't be acting. There may be sins in our lives that we need to repent of, and it shuts up the door of heaven. And we feel it. We feel it. It's shut, and I know there's things in my heart and life I need to deal with. So why not deal with them instead of turning to an alternative source? Saul, right? Deal with the rebellion. Repent. But obviously, he turned to those who peep and mutter. Peep, peep, you know, people cluck. You ever heard of clucking and things like that? And I've heard of some pretty bizarre stuff going on in church. People think it's the Lord. The chirping, peeping, bird-like sounds. I was watching a fellow preach not long ago. I wasn't there, but I was watching him on a computer screen. And he tells people to turn to a particular passage of Scripture. And when they get there, he starts reading it. Then he starts clucking like a chicken. I mean, literally clucking like a chicken, acting like a chicken. And everybody's going, praise God, praise God. Like they think the Holy Spirit fell on the fellow. A spirit may have fallen on him, but no. No. Well, the idea of people, here in Isaiah 8:19, the idea of people seeking counsel, advice, direction, and so forth from the dead, you know, that was a heathen practice. It was a demonic practice, of course, but it was a deeply entrenched heathen practice, widely practiced around the world. It's been practiced, I guess, since the beginning of the fall of mankind. Since the fall of mankind, people turning to another source for wisdom, counsel, and direction. The widespread practice in pagan lands, widespread among the Canaanites, you know, with all their idols and their superstition. Witchcraft, shamanism, idolatry of every kind, spells, potions, charms, amulets, magic, luck, you know all the things that go along with superstition. All the kind of stuff that Christians, we should know better than this. We know that all of this stuff belongs to the realm of the occult, and you and I, you have no need of a lucky piece, a lucky coin, a lucky rabbit's foot, a four-leaf clover, a horseshoe nailed over your garage door, a lucky charm in your pocket, a lucky card, a lucky bean, or whatever it is. You know, this is all stuff. This is superstition. This is the stuff that comes right out of the pagan belief system. Christians look to God. We don't look for luck. We look for His provision. We look for His favor. We look for His blessing. We trust Him to keep His promises. And He promises to do that. The Christian doesn't look to have his cards read, palm read, fortune told, tea leaves read, stars charted, plotted, and so on and so forth. Hello. This, too, is seeking counsel, guidance, direction, information from a source that God strictly prohibits. So all such things, such as astrology, you know, the Christian, we have nothing to do with these things. Nothing to do with these. And I would trust that we are mature enough to realize not only should we have nothing to do with these things, but we should have nothing to do with objects that represent these things. You know, like the little chain of the sign of the zodiac that people wear around their neck, or the big plaque of the zodiac they hang on the wall in their bedroom, living room, kitchen, whatever. We should know that these things, this is a forbidden practice for us as believers. We're to look to the Lord for our counsel, wisdom, direction. This is the sin of Saul. So it is something to take seriously. It's, yes, sir.
Hollywood did a slap in God's face some years back. They had this cute little program called Bewitched. Do you remember the name of the mother-in-law?
Yeah, Endora. That's right. Endora, from the witch at Endor. Wasn't that interesting? You see, Dave has this mind that remembers these things. But I actually remembered that too, Dave. He remembers these little tidbits of information that most of us don't even think of. But through Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, which everybody laughed at, cute, innocent, harmless, fun, family fair, innocuous, you know, nothing harmful about that, right? We were introduced to witchcraft, magic, sorcery, wizardry, seances, and all of that painted with the brush of innocence and harmlessness, so that it became acceptable. Acceptable in our homes, acceptable even in our minds. It's harmless fun. These are nice people. While the practice itself of sorcery, witchcraft, magic is condemned severely in the Bible. It's condemned repeatedly in the Bible as consulting a source that is not God. In the old days, there was Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. Now what do we have? We have been bombarded with this stuff. In fact, Saturday morning cartoons is almost all occult. It's, if it's not magic, sorcery, spells, amulets, charms, you know, everybody with these occult powers. And then you've got Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling parlayed her Harry Potter books into $1 billion personal fortune. $1 billion. She sold over 325 million Harry Potter books. 325 million in 65 languages. And she's the richest woman in England. Richest woman in England. We're a nation infatuated with the occult, and we have bought in. I'm talking about overall, we have bought into the philosophy that this is harmless. This is harmless. It's innocent. It might even be desirable, you know, to have this kind of magic power. Hello? You and I must realize that all of this is not only a dark practice, it's a dark. There is no such thing as white magic, white witchcraft, innocent witchcraft. No such thing. It's all dark. It's a dark practice. It's a demonic practice. And it's a prohibited practice in any form, in any manner. We might as well look over to Deuteronomy chapter 18 since we're reading these verses. Let's turn there tonight and read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 18. We'll just take a couple of minutes and read beginning in verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, 9. When thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He's telling Israel, the people of Israel, thou shalt not. Sounds like the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Don't do like the heathen do. What do they do? He says, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. This is a clear reference to child sacrifice, which was also widely practiced in the ancient world. Or that useth divination. What is divination? Fortune telling. Divination means to foretell the future in any way, manner, shape, or form. Any way, manner, shape, or form, divination is fortune telling of any kind. It's kind of one of those broad terms that has to do with fortune telling. So whether it's through astrology, cards, palm reading, whatever kind of prognostication, divination is prohibited, any kind. Or an observer of times. This would be your good old-fashioned soothsayers, people who, again, predict the future by magical means or some kind of prognosticator, a psychic, you know, who foretells future events. Or an enchanter, a magician, a witch, or a charmer. One version translates that a hypnotist. That's also very popular today. Hypnotism, self-hypnosis, putting yourself into a, you know, hypnotic spell, talking good things to yourself. It's all about self-improvement, self-esteem, build up your own self-esteem through self-hypnosis and so on and so forth. A consultant with familiar spirits, you know, here we go back to the spirit medium and so on. A wizard, or some versions translate it, a psychic. Or a necromancer, somebody who consults the dead. A medium, you know, who supposedly channels the dead. For all that do these things, I'm going to read that again. For how many? All that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. The reason why they are losing their land, they are being displaced, and I'm giving you their land, is because this is what they do. They do these things, and therefore I'm driving them out. They are an abomination to me. Now, what becomes of the people of God when the people of God move into the land and start practicing those very things? And isn't that exactly what happened? Well, what about Christian people who should know better, but we peddle this occult stuff to our own kids? And if somebody says anything about it, if you dare say something about Harry Potter, you know, that's wrong, that's occult, that's demonic, people will think you are a kook, that you're from outer space. Yes, sir. I didn't read that, but I am not surprised. I am not surprised at all. Yes, ma'am.
Tell you.
Some psychics do. Some think that they're channeling God. Some think that they really are an instrument of God. Well, you know, some psychics are just plain out frauds. Some of them, they're just, that's probably the largest category, just frauds.
If they can foretell the future, how come they're not at the racetrack?
Yeah, or winning the lottery. Yes. Yeah, or ask your name. Why do you have to tell a psychic your name? How come they don't win all the lotteries? Yes, ma'am. And you know what frightened me is that some of the most popular Christian publications, magazines and so on, defended the Harry Potter books as good literature for the kids. It taught them good things about friendship and morals and yeah. Right. Well, I've never read any of the Harry Potter literature, but I have read that that it was very well written. That this woman, maybe she was inspired to write this stuff. You know? That there was some inspiration behind it, not divine, but anyway, a lot of the psychic stuff is just pure fraudulent. But some people actually do tap into sources that are beyond the natural. Now, some of them, I think, have very keen powers of observation. And they also have a way where they can lead people and get information from people that you don't even know you're giving them. And then they can tell you things about yourself. And it's pretty general. And you think, oh, my man, they're speaking right to me. How could they know that about me? Yeah, well, if they say, you've been depressed lately, yeah, so has 90% of the general public. You know. I can see that something's really been on your mind. Yeah, really? Wow, that's profound. 100% of the public has had things on their mind, right? This one. You know, it's amazing how ignorant even the Christian public is. Where my dad grew up on the bayou, out in Bayou Lafourche, they had what they called traiteurs out there, those old Cajuns that would do magic healing. They would, a lot of people went to the traiteur. They would They would treat you. You would go to them. You had warts. I'll never forget. You rub a potato on the wart. You cut the potato in half, rub it on the wart, bury one part of it. I don't know what you did to the other part. I don't remember, but yeah. And the wart's supposed to go away. I don't think mine went away. I actually knocked it off accidentally. But there were all kinds. These were little. Even my dad didn't know any better. And he was a Baptist at the time. But, you know, later he learned better. But a lot of people just, they didn't know. You didn't learn a whole lot, I guess. No. Exactly right. Not just paranoid, but a stupid, ignorant, redneck, Bible-thumping doofus. You know, you just don't have any sense at all. If you think something's wrong with the whole Harry Potter, magic, sorcery, witchcraft, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter. Well, we read Deuteronomy 18. Let's keep in mind verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination. Abomination to the Lord. An abomination to the Lord. All right, let's look back at our text in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We're a nation infatuated with the occult. There are thousands and thousands of channelers even here in America. They're promoted by famous people, actors, movie stars, musicians, athletes, workshops all over the country to go attend a psychic workshop, learn your purpose in life, and so on and so forth. Some of you may have heard of Jane Roberts. She was a channeler back in the 60s. She channeled a being called Seth. And she wrote over 25 books while in a trance. Wrote books beyond her ability to write. They're called the Seth texts or the Seth material. Over 25 books. I think sold millions of copies of this stuff. This spirit came upon her and began to channel through her, named Seth. She'd go into a trance, another voice would speak, all kinds of material. They wrote it down, books would be written, thousands of people bought it, millions of books sold. Guess how this spirit came upon her? In 1963, her and her husband sat down and decided to play a game called Ouija. And playing with a Ouija board, this spirit came upon her. And instead of just the little thing moving around and pointing out words, it began to speak through her. And she picked up this very powerful demon. She died in 1984, 85. She was only in her early 50s. There are so many people like that. You dabble in the occult, dabble in the devil's territory, you get a lot more than you bargain for. You always get more than you bargain for. Ruth Montgomery, some of you might remember her. She channeled an entity called Lily. Kevin Ryerson, which was Shirley MacLaine's favorite channeler. You remember Shirley MacLaine, right? This guy had a spirit guide called John. And he's been on a whole bunch of TV shows and radio shows. Anyway, there was something else I wanted to mention. I can't remember what it was. It'll come to me in a minute. Oh, I know what it was. Helen Schuckman. This is a woman who wrote the book called A Course in Miracles. It's been on the Oprah show. She promotes it big time. I think they did a workshop with it all through the summer, A Course in Miracles. That book was actually written while this woman channeled an entity that called itself Jesus. Yeah. All about it's psychic, you know, New Age. Anyway, is this Saul? Let's talk about that for a second. How much time? How long have I been? Is this Saul? I mean, Samuel. Did Samuel appear to Saul? Did Samuel come up from the grave? Let me tell you why it's not Samuel. I'm going to tell you why it's not Samuel. Because the dead are out of our reach. They are out of our reach. They're either in a place of blessedness or not. They're in a place of cursedness. But the dead do not communicate with us. There are no cell phones. There are no hell phones, you know, or even heaven phones for that matter. The dead do not communicate with us. The dead do not communicate with us. The dead do not communicate with us. What about, Brother Rusty? I saw my dead grandmother. She showed up at the foot of my bed. My great-grandmother, she showed up at the foot of my bed and she said, don't worry, I'm okay. A lot of people see dead ancestors. Let me tell you, a lot of people see dead ancestors. Maybe it's a hallucination. Maybe it's a dream. The one thing it's not your dead ancestor. It could be a dream, could be a hallucination. It could be grief, you know, your grief, you see what maybe you wish you saw. Those things could happen. It could also be demonic. It could be demonic. People who see apparitions, ghosts, specters, phantoms, people who, you know, this is usually demonic activity. We will admit it could be a hallucination. It could just be a dream. It could be nothing. But it could also be demonic. The dead do not appear to us. Not your dead relatives, not dead saints, not Mary.
Uh-oh. Not even in toast, bro. They recently had a guy who he fell off a motorcycle and skinned his knee, and it was on the internet. They took a picture of it. It was Jesus' face. The scab had turned into Jesus' face.
Yeah. That would be pretty gruesome. People probably would buy it if they could get the scab off. I want to read something to you that I found pretty interesting. Listen to this. Listen to this. Do you think it's possible that an evil spirit might impersonate a dead ancestor? Or maybe a demon would impersonate, maybe it would pretend it was a visitor from another planet. We've come to warn you, you're going to blow yourselves up if you don't meditate and chant a mantra, but consider this. Many occultists. This is from the book by John Ankerberg on spirit guides. He's got a real interesting little section in here. It says, many occultists channelers, shamans, psychics, mediums, and gurus have testified to the fact the spirits sometimes have deceived them. These occultists say the spirits imitate good spirits, but they actually trick, lie to, or injure their hosts. Occultists have found that spirits can imitate virtually anyone or anything with ease. Now, these people who dabble in the occult, who are occult practitioners, who speak to spirits, they think they're speaking to, you know, good spirits, nature spirits, you know, deceased ancestors, whatever. But they have declared that these evil spirits can take any form they want, and they often deceive and often lie. So how can you trust such things? He talks about the harrowing experience of astral traveler Robert Monroe. In one of his many out-of-the-body experiences, he relates that he was repeatedly and viciously attacked by evil spirits. At one point in the attack, two of them instantly turned into exact images of his two daughters. How about that? They can take form. I've heard some Christians say, "That's nonsense! That's nonsense! That can't happen!" Angels appeared, walked on the earth, looked like men, ate with Abraham, sat at the door of his tent, ate with him, conversed with him, right? Then they went into Sodom, angels, and grabbed Lot by the hand and took him out of the city. They were seen by the whole city of Sodom. These were angelic beings. I don't see why people would think that demons can't manifest, that they can't at times appear as phantoms, specters, ghosts, dead ancestors, whatever form they choose to take. Yes, ma'am. Angels? I definitely believe angels could appear to somebody. Should the Lord choose to send one to appear? I definitely believe that could happen. An angel? Sure. They did in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly the Bible actually teaches such things. Yes, sir. Well, that's really not exactly what it means, but I know that is true. That is true. Demons can impersonate people, and they obviously know facts and details about people's lives because they've been around tormenting them, haunting them, harassing them, vexing them, tempting them. They know their weaknesses. They know what they fell for, and so on, observing them, watching them. The familiar spirit basically refers to this very thing the channelers speak of, that they have a spirit that they channel, and that's that they commune with the dead or the other side, you know. Anyway, Swedenborg, one of the more famous mediums, Emanuel Swedenborg, spent his lifetime in dabbling in the occult, channeling these demons and so forth. In the Western world, this book says probably no one has had as much experience as he has. Yet Swedenborg cautioned that these spirits were so cunning and deceitful that it was almost impossible to determine their true nature. As an occult authority, Swedenborg warned people that the demonic spirits are gifted actors and routinely imitate the dead. So, this is Swedenborg's words. He says, when spirits begin to speak with a man, he ought to beware that he believes nothing whatsoever from them, for they say almost anything. things are fabricated by them and they lie. They tell so many lies, and indeed with solemn affirmation, that a man would be astonished. If a man listens and believes, they press on and deceive and seduce. Let men beware, therefore, and not believe them. Anyway, why would you believe a demon anyhow? Even if it is impersonating somebody. Okay, so the dead don't appear to us. They don't communicate with us. God forbids the practice of necromancy. It's an incredible thought in my mind to think that a witch could say, okay, I'm a conjure up Samuel. And he comes up and he says, why did you call me up? Why have you disquieted me? Like, you know, they interrupted his rest or something. Doesn't that sound bizarre to you? I mean, it sounds bizarre to me. In my mind, that makes it think, you know, that couldn't be Samuel. Couldn't be Samuel. Saul never did see him, by the way. The witch saw him. She said, he says, what did you see? What did he look like? But you can't call somebody up from heaven. You can't call somebody back from hell. It's absurd to think that you could. Right? It would be absurd to think that you could. All of the reformers, Calvin, Luther, none of them believed that this was Samuel. None of them. So, and then the final reason why they said it's not Samuel is because there is no message here. Samuel did not come back and say, Saul, you need to repent. No call to repentance. And therefore, this was not Samuel. It was just simply some kind of demonic manifestation. Or maybe the witch at Endor was actually tricking him and just telling him all of those things. Or maybe it was a hallucination. But whatever it was, it wasn't Samuel. Samuel did not come back from the dead. So what thinkest thou? Now I'm going to tell you why it was Samuel. I want you to look back with me. To verse 15. You in 1 Samuel 28? Samuel said to Saul. Who said it? Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me? The Bible doesn't say it was a demon, it was a hallucination. It says Samuel spoke to Saul. And then Samuel went on to speak to Saul, and he didn't call him to repent. I mean, maybe that should be implied, that, you know, maybe that's implied, but the idea is, you have sinned, you're going to die. This is your judgment. As you read it, it continues to say, like verse 16, then said Samuel. Who said it? Samuel said it. The message is a Samuel-like message, a message of judgment, destruction. It's sort of a reiteration of the message that he had already pronounced upon Saul. So, it can't be Samuel, but it was. A witch cannot call up the dead. It can't happen. Never, under any circumstance. The dead don't come back. Unless by a divine act of God, he sent Samuel on this occasion to give Saul his final message, his final word. And the fact that it took disappearance, you know, it could take whatever appearance I guess God would choose. But in my mind, it can't be Samuel, but it was. Not because the witch could call him up, but because God sent him. So, yes, sir.
Confirmation of that.
That's right. And Elijah was there, who didn't die, but he was there as well. They did see into the realm, another dimension. They did get to see that. The part here that, you know, just sounds hokey is where Samuel says, "Why have you disquieted me?" As though he was at rest and you aggravated me and so forth. But this was a message to Saul. It was a message to Saul from Samuel. And I do believe that in this instance, God sent him with that message. Simply because the Bible says it was Samuel. Yes, sir. Right.
And then Saul goes on later on and kills himself, but how can he do it?
Well, the reference here is, you're going to be dead like me. You're going to be in the realm of the dead. Whether Saul was saved or not, it's not the point here. The point was that you'll be dead. You'll be in the realm of the dead just like me. And that was his message. Anybody else have a question, comment, thought? Yes, sir.
In one of the Thessalonian letters, Peter said in the last day, before the coming of the lawless one, there's going to be all sorts of signs and lying wonders, and he's talking about exactly this kind of thing.
Right.
And God will finally say, okay, that's it, and send a strong delusion. Well, that's already here. An awful lot of people are already saying the Bible is not the Word of God. So
right.
Let's go somewhere else.
Right. And a lot of people are saying it's, you know, has great lessons, great morals, but it's ancient history. So my prayer is that the Lord would give us all a profound reverence for the Word of God and a desire to know it and to follow it to the very best of our ability. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. The Mount of Transfiguration. Yes, ma'am. Sometimes, especially the Pentecostal charismatic group tends to go through cycles of infatuation with certain things. You know, they tend to be very faddish. And Roland Buck wrote a book called Angels on Assignment, and it drove the charismatic world wild. I mean, it was all about angels visiting and. I had some immediate problems with the book because I did read it, and even back then he was teaching that Jesus went to hell, had to be born again. You know, he wasn't being visited by no angel, not an angel from God, in spite of what he said. He died right after he wrote the book, something, had a heart attack or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. He taught Jesus died spiritually, had to be born again. It's the same old heresy that's been permeating among the, you know, still promoted among the prosperity preachers today. It was in that book all the way back then. Yeah. Yes, sir. Ghost. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Well, people see ghosts, but it's not your dead ancestor. Nor is it any other dead person. It's a demon. Yes, sir.
You remember the name of that angel that God wrote about in that book?
No.
Very akin to Moroni.
That's right, it was. That's right. It wasn't Moroni, but it was. It was like macaroni. Yeah. Boy, it's an interesting world. Praise God. Well, Father, we pray for increasing discernment and increasing opportunities to share our faith. Lord, keep us close to you, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If anyone